My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you good?
The Fan.
Three here on a Tuesday afternoon here on Danny and Dusty. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful and illustrious Tuesday afternoon here in, what do we got? What do we got? We had a nice day outside? Okay day
no,
outside?
No, it was raining earlier.
Was it?
Yeah.
See, I didn't, again, as I am wont to do, I checked the weather by walking outside and I went shorts and a hoodie.
Oh, wow.
I went full toddler.
That
every time I do that, my wife says I look like an elementary schooler.
You look like an elementary schooler or a middle schooler. I see that a lot. Went through it. Actually, you went with what my son went to school with. He's 7.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Crocs too?
No. He wore actual shoes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We send our kid to school in shoes, unless it's a library day.
Yeah.
Then you can wear your Crocs.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like, you know, it's radio. Nobody sees my feet.
I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna send you out to school in your Crocs, even if they're in sport mode. Mm. Don't care. Don't care.
Mm.
You're wearing shoes, damn it.
I'm not. I'm not. I
need to come in.
I'm Mike Gundy. I'm a grown man. I'm 40. I wear Crocs.
Wear Crocs wherever I want.
They're comfortable. My wife is, she's given up that battle.
Oh, okay.
I know. I don't wear Crocs out to, like, dinner. Well, I should say, anymore.
Yeah, okay, there
anymore.
We go.
Post-surgery, I was wearing Crocs because it was difficult to put shoes on.
Sure, Jan.
There we go. But it is time now, Tuesday afternoon, 2 Ooh. O'clock, 3 up, 3 down, 3 things we like, 3 things we didn't, coming out of the NFL weekend that was, and what a weekend we had.
It was not as wild as the college football weekend.
Still a really great weekend.
But it gave us everything we could ask for. I mean, you get the Vikings coming out and planting their flag in the ground of jolly old London town as an unbeaten. We still only have 2 unbeatens remaining. We have upsets abound. We had
the Bengals are dead.
The Buffalo Bills are the Bengals dead? They're 1-4. It's not good. But there's a lot of ground they can make up. The Bills seem like they're really
Josh Allen now. Forgot how to throw a football.
The entire AFC East seems pretty bad.
At we knew that.
Last weekend they did, at least. The Bills are going to still run away with that division.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a crazy weekend. And I'm here for all of it. And where I'm going to start my first up of the week, Travis Swift. He's back. Looked really comfortable, and it was only a matter of time. Yesterday, Travis Kelce, 9 catches, 70 yards on the day, did not have a touchdown catch, had a sweet little lateral to the back. But at the same time, it was like, hey, where's Travis Kelce? Where's Travis Kelce? Have we not learned our lesson about the Chiefs?
It's true.
Beginning of the year, what Patrick Mahomes does is he, as long as they're winning, when it comes winning time, they're going to throw the ball to Travis Kelce.
We know it's
when they're going up against one of the best red zone defenses in the NFL, like they did last night against the New Orleans Saints, you know that they're going to have Travis Kelce as a bigger part and influence in the offense. And he was. And last night, you saw 10 targets for him. Mahomes trying to get him the ball a little bit more. But what Patrick Mahomes is doing is trying to figure out what he has everywhere else. And if you can do that while still winning games, that's what makes them just so terrifying as a team.
They've been clunky and they're still undefeated.
Yeah.
Very stupid.
Absolutely. But Travis Kelce, he back, baby. And T. Swift in the building. You hear...
Quietly.
You hear Troy Aikman?
No.
He said, oh, the missus likes that one. And Joe Buck's like, you know they're not married, yeah. Right? And he's like, I'm sorry. They are like
the
terrified
fear of the Swifties.
Of the Swifties coming at him and being like, ah! Troy Aikman.
They can ruin empires.
That man was teammates with Michael Irvin, Leon Lett, and he's more scared of the Swifties.
I mean, he's seen more cocaine than everyone in Scarface combined.
Yes.
And he's afraid of a bunch of 16-year-old blonde-haired white women.
He played on a team where somebody got stabbed with a pair of scissors in the training room, and they had a party house called the White House.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
He's more terrified of the Swifties.
Oh, because it was painted white?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
after
Jeff.
Somebody sneezed.
Yeah, Jeff. Yeah.
My first up is rookie quarterbacks figuring it out for the first time in NFL history.
All right.
Three rookie quarterbacks are above 500.
Hey!
Caleb Williams and Bo Nix, both 3-2. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels, 4-1. The caveat to this is it did happen once before in the 1987 strike-shortened season.
Hey, look at that.
Which...
Somebody's got to win.
Got to throw it out.
Hey, how about this one, too? All three of those quarterbacks... Mm-hmm. have won the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. They're 6-0 over the last 2 weeks.
And I would make the argument they have all gotten better every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even when Bo Nix and Sean Payton are yelling at each other.
Kill each other.
My second up, Kings of the North. The NFC North was the division that everybody said at the beginning of this year. They're going to be playing some good football there. Not only are all of them over 500 right now, you have the 5-0 Minnesota Vikings, the 3-1. Detroit Lions, the 3-2 Packers, 3-2 Bears, they are beating the brakes off of the teams that they're playing
mm-hmm.
too. All four of those teams have a plus 20 point differential. Now, if you're wondering, is that good?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is very good. In fact, it's the first time it's happened since, I believe, 1985, I think is the last time that has happened.
Reminder, what happened in the NFC, or I guess the old NFC Central?
Well, just a division. It's the first time since we started our four divisions in having any team do this. So that'd be 2000.
I'm just saying, who won the title
2002?
That year? 85.
That would be the 85 Bears.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I bet you they had a pretty good point differential.
First time since 2002 that every team in a division is... plus 20 after five games.
Pretty good spot to be in.
Nuts.
My second up, the two lone undefeated teams. I think a lot of people would have pegged the Kansas City Chiefs to be one of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
The frustrating thing, I think, for everyone else in the NFL is that they're doing it in a manner of like, it's not pretty. But come fourth quarter, they just find a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. It's very Patriots and Brady-esque in that... you don't want to be on the other side of that team with Patrick Mahomes marching down the line. The other one here, Minnesota Vikings. There have been times over the last, I would say, 15 years with the Vikings where you went, that's not real. I don't buy it. It just felt fake. This Vikings team is for real. They have found ways to win with their offense, with their defense. They have played the ball control. They have... shot themselves in the foot and then found a way to rebound. They are just a damn good team that gets it done.
Yeah. I mean, and it was, yeah, well, can they win when Sam Darnold comes back down to earth?
Yeah.
He went 14 of 31 for 179 yards, zero touchdowns, and a pick.
Mm-hmm.
They won.
Yeah.
Now, it turned into a one-score game late, but guess what their defense did? Forced three interceptions from Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, they're the real deal right now. My final up, I'm going to go them quarterbacks slinging it. Remember, everybody's panic. Quarterbacks not throw the ball well. Well, this week in the National Football League, we had five quarterbacks throw for over 350 yards. First time that we've had that all season long. If you want to go down a little bit further, you had nine quarterbacks throw for over 300 yards. And how about this? Of the rushers this year, or this week, in week five of the National Football League, you had five quarterbacks in the top 25 rushers league-wide.
Mm.
When you have Josh Allen running for 54, Lamar Jackson ran for 55, then you have Jaden Daniels rush for 82, Kyler Murray rush for 83, and Geno Smith ran for 72 yards. Mm-hmm. You had five quarterbacks of the top 25 performers rushing the football this week in the NFL.
Dual threat. Kyler Murray pointing and laughing at people.
Yeah, dude, and running away from them while doing
it. It's so funny when he does it, too, because his legs are so short.
He does.
He's a little, like a little front thumb cartoon. We came up with the same sound, though. That was pretty good. That's
damn.
We're getting on the same cycle now. My third up, Texans fighting the sophomore slump.
Oh.
Everybody wondered, would they come back down to earth? Would teams adjust to C.J. Stroud? Would teams adjust to coaching strategies and different things from the Texans that could be disruptive? And it turns out they're more balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense, again, we talked about this earlier, Drake May is going to make his first career start against these Texans. And every quarterback has come out of playing this team saying some version of, that team throws more crap at us than anyone else. It makes it hard. It makes it difficult for us to understand what's coming, what they're going to do, how they're going to attack us. They are taking, and it's going to be interesting because the NFL is a copycat league. Do teams start taking pages out of the Texans playbook? Because what the Texans do is not just different. It's very high risk.
Yeah, but it's also they knocked it out of the park in a draft that, I mean, when you knock it out of the park, you turn into what Seattle turned into,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing it. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with Nico Collins out.
Yeah, the hamstring injury, which
Good thing they play New England this week.
It's a good time to go ahead and rest out. But Nico's injury didn't present itself in the game, so maybe it's not a...
He left at halftime.
Well, I know what I'm saying. They said, and I think he said post-game, it just felt weird. It wasn't a pull-up lame situation, mm-hmm. which when you see that, you go, ooh, that's 6 weeks. So maybe this is a thing where it's maybe not as egregious.
Hopefully. All right, my first down. Firing guys. Robert Saleh out. First head coach fired after 5 weeks. The New York Jets said, he gone. This is not a Robert Saleh issue. This is a New York Jets issue. But who's going to be the next dumb team to fire their coach far too early? TBD.
Congratulations to anybody who had Robert Saleh in their pool.
I did not.
I would not have.
No.
It would have taken me a long ways to get here.
Yep.
My first down, the AFC South.
Oh.
Holy crap.
Are they good?
I don't know if there is a redemptive quality in that division outside of Houston.
Well, Houston's a pretty good one to have.
I mean, it is, but the Colts, I mean, they're going to turn to Joe Flacco. They're going to go away from Anthony Richardson.
Joe Flacco.
The Tennessee Titans and Will Levis, who knows what the hell is going on there?
Mm.
And then you've got the Jacksonville Jaguars, who, that's the coach that I expected to be fired first.
Yes.
I don't know if Doug Peterson makes it through the week.
Oh, Dougie will. He's coming off a big win.
You think so? Oh, I mean, coming, I should say, makes it through next week.
Oh, no, he probably doesn't.
I feel like we're going to be at this point next week.
He's gone.
Yeah,
he probably doesn't. Not good news there.
And my God, the entire division, we're going to talk about positive point differentials.
Uh-huh.
Negative point differential for the entire division, including the 4-1 Texans, who are minus 12.
They're three.
4-1, minus 12.
Gosh.
Yeah.
My second down, the Cincinnati Bengals defense, they are atrocious on the defensive side of the ball. Now, right now, if you look at total yards allowed, they are seventh in the NFL. They're okay against the pass, but against the run, they are getting gashed against the run this year. They're allowing 151 yards per game on the ground, which is third worst in the NFL. Total yards, they have allowed 757. It's brutal to watch. And then on top of that, they're allowing points too. It's not a bend but don't break defense. They're allowing 29 points per game. And you look at what happened this past weekend. Granted, they were a hold away from having that a tie game against the Baltimore Ravens. But you give up 41 points, your offense scores 38, and you lose a football game. In the NFL, that is unfathomable. You're asking Joe Burrow to play perfect football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and literally, has got to be perfect.
Though, so, by EPA and a couple other measurements, Joe Burrow had, whether you, depending on how you slice it, had his third or fourth best game of his career offensively. And then, since the beginning of last year, on the same metrics, the Bengals have been the worst defense in football.
It's bad.
It's not an exaggeration. They have been the worst defense in football.
Now, they've had injuries up front. That obviously is going to affect how you operate and getting that push in the heart of your defense. But you've got to be better.
Too many guys are not living up to their contracts.
No doubt about it.
It's a tough place to be. My second down is Super Bowl hopefuls. On the outside looking in right now, the Philadelphia Eagles, San Francisco 49ers, and the Cincinnati Bengals are combined 5-10.
Uh-oh.
There's certainly, you can look at the 49ers and go, well, they've had injuries. Sure. Again, I will roll my eyes at the, oh, I'm sorry, they didn't have one of their 7 All-Pros.
They need Robert Saleh back.
Yeah.
He's available.
Yeah, let's chill a little bit. I think there's real concern for the 49ers. They may have missed their window. As insane as that sounds, you know, when we look at hindsight. The Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni is the next coach on that list for me. And if the Eagles come out this next week and they find a way to lay an egg again, there is going to be real issues. And we talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. They're 1-4. I don't know if they can save this season.
Yeah,
1-4 look, it's not impossible. It's damn near that.
Yeah, they need to be a lot better.
They need to go on essentially a 9-game winning streak.
My final one is Saint It Ain't So. The New Orleans Saints dropped their third straight game last night to the Kansas City Chiefs after putting up crooked numbers on the scoreboard the first 2 weeks. Remember, they scored 91 points in 2 games to start the season. 47-10 over the Panthers, 44-19 over the Cowboys. Since then, they have scored 12, 24, 13. The offense has come right back down to earth. The defense is still keeping you in games. Mm-hmm. I thought they did a really good job against the Chiefs yesterday.
Yeah.
But your offense, and this is sometimes ugly, Derek Carr shows mm-hmm. his face. That interception early in that game, that was kind of the tone setter for them offensively. It's when I knew I was in trouble with my over.
They'll sneak up and get you.
Just so bad.
My last down, coach is on the hot seat.
Oh, but they got the Bucks. They got the Bucks next week, mm-hmm. and then they have the Denver Broncos. If the Denver Broncos get past the Chargers, they'll be on a 4-game win streak heading into that game against the New Orleans Saints, and I'm not going to rule them out of that game either.
Yeah, because the Chargers don't have an offense. God, that's 2 offenses going against each other. Oof.
Just don't watch.
That's going to be bad football. My last down, coach is on the hot seat.
Unless you're a Duck fan, want to watch Justin Herbert and
Bo Nix. There you go. Coaches in the hot seat for me, I don't believe in hot seats.
Oh.
I think they're very dumb.
All right.
Either get in or get out. Fire the guy and move on. Start your search or commit to the guy and get through the season.
Yep.
I hate hot seats. I don't like it. I know I just got done talking about Sirianni and
well, they're Peterson. On one, but they're dumb.
Yeah, but yeah. The profile on Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts coming into the season wasn't a red flag. It was a red curtain.
Yeah. I hate hot seats, too, because either fire them at the beginning of the year or hold on to them for the rest of the
year.
Because if things are going downhill that fast...
You made the wrong choice to start the season. Just...
Might as well...
Write it out.
Get a good draft pick.
Yeah. There's no... I don't understand it. It drives me absolutely
I mean,
bonkers.
Unless you have a complete a-hole of a coach, then I guess you fire him the last few weeks.
Hackett, when he was with the McDaniels, Hackett, like when you get those coaches, you're like, oh no.
But again, that's on you for hiring them.
But those are the ones where those aren't hot seats. Those are, oh, we made a drastic mistake. And I think those are different.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
All right, so that's it. 3 up, 3 down, 3 things we like, 3 things we didn't. Coming out of the NFL weekend that was every Tuesday at around 2 o'clock-ish. We get some fun with the audio and a little back and forth here coming up. We'll dive into the NFL next on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Bo Nix and the Broncos handled the Las Vegas Raiders over the weekend. And even in that win, it got a little feisty. Got a little heated. Got a little testy between Sean Payton and Bo Nix.
Yeah, the Raiders are in a bad spot.
Oh, God, yes.
Gardner Minshew's eating his boogers on the sideline.
That's tough. Tough look.
That's a tough look. That is a tough look. But I guess everybody loves their own flavor.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah. Get your own brew.
Yeah. Yeah. But even.
Nah, I think I'm good.
Yeah. I just hope that, like, my kid doesn't see that because I'm like, don't eat your boogers.
And nobody does that. And it's Gardner Minshew.
Like,
he's so
good. Like, we love Gardner Minshew. Yeah.
Couldn't tell you how many times a day I have to tell my kid that. You stop picking your nose and eating it.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say how many times you have to remind yourself not to do that.
Yeah. Well, that too, maybe.
No, I'm a picker and flicker.
Ooh. Be an adult. Get a booger wall. but no, it did get testing. This is what's going to happen when you have a rookie quarterback, right? And I think a lot is being made of Sean Payton and Bo Nix yelling at each other on the sideline. But I think if you go back and you kind of look at what happened and you look at Sean Payton and Drew Brees in their relationship,
God,
over the years,
they used to get into it.
Yeah, they would yell at each other all the time. It is a sign of growth when you have those, because one, you have a quarterback, and like this is also with the understanding that Bo Nix isn't the guy who just MFs people and yells at people all the time, right?
No.
And if you watch a video, do you see the assistant coach come up and like back Bo? And like he kind of like gave like the, no, he's right, as they were yelling at each other. I don't know what they were saying. But what I do know is Bo Nix handled it like a wily veteran in the post game.
Bo, there was a very lively conversation with you and Sean Payton after that 45-yard incompletion there. What was going on there, and why were you so heated about it?
Yeah, well, he turned and looked at me and said, I love you, and I turned and said, I love you back.
That goes over a lot better when you win 34-18.
Yeah.
But
if the scoreboard's reversed, it's a lot harder to have that kind of or candor in the post game.
You're not getting that.
No.
You're not getting that at all.
It's, we're both very competitive, and it just happens in the flow of the game. And
we're just going to keep that between us.
Yeah.
And it sounds a lot worse than...
Like, oh, what do you mean between us? God, it's like, how this goes, man.
But that was when you hit a... when you have a offense where it is hit and miss, it's boom and bust. The quarterback and the receiver have to be on the same page, because Sean Payton's offense has so many option routes and so many times you need to read and just take what the defense is giving you. But it takes two to tango in that you're going to have the miss hits, and you know you're going to have Sean Payton expecting that perfection from his quarterback, and you know. The receiver was open, but what did the defense show Bo Nix? That's where Sean Payton's going to lose his ass, is you guys didn't see the same thing. He was open, and Bo's probably sitting there going, well, if you had done the right thing and taken what the defense gives us in our read progressions, still would have been open. You have those lively and fiery conversations like that. And I think one thing, and you said this in your three up, three down, the three rookie quarterbacks are showing growth. Mm-hmm. And Bo Nix is lagging behind the other two. That is true.
He also has at least to work with.
By far. Yeah.
Look, week one, Jaden Daniels made the other two guys look terrible. I mean, yeah. Caleb and Bo were atrocious week one.
He's got a new age play caller in Cliff Kingsbury. Mm-hmm. He has a legit bona fide vet in Terry McLaurin that knows how to get open.
A good enough line and solid running game.
Run game. Caleb Williams was running for his life and playing like he did in college. He has made it a point of emphasis to deal, like an NFL quarterback
should. He has nailed his butt to the pocket.
And he needs to.
No.
He has to. It's been a little bit of an overcorrection. You still got to let Caleb Williams. It's like, hey, do your thing.
Yeah.
But if I am a coach, I would rather Caleb Williams say, nope, I'm going to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can say, all right, you know how to be a pro now. You be you.
Yeah.
You be
find the balance.
Yeah. Josh Allen had mm-hmm. to find the balance early in his career. Caleb Williams comes in as a far more prolific and efficient passer than Josh Allen was mm-hmm. when he started. And he has way more weapons
yes.
than anybody who's kind of stepped in to a starting role on the team as a number one pick. Their offensive line is got a lot of work to do, though, and we'll see where they go. But all three of these quarterbacks are playing really damn well. And then there will be Drake May this week.
It's a good place to be.
Who might die.
Good place to be.
No, it's not for Drake May.
All right, coming up next, we'll put a nice little bow on all of the NFL ups, downs, and everything in between. Because, well, we just didn't have time to hit it all yesterday. We'll get mm-hmm. that and more here on Danny Dustin. First, here's the Big Kahuna Sports on Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna Burger? And you can have your
dream. I don't think it's a stretch of the imagination to say that Josh Allen was having a runaway MVP caliber season heading into this weekend.
Yeah, and great defenses will do that to you.
But by God, did he forget how to quarterback?
Yeah.
9 of 30.
And this is the big conundrum that you have when you don't have a number one. Like, this is the whole why you need a number one wide receiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is because Khalil Shakir goes out and he had been playing really well.
The role of the number one.
But when you are by committee and the committee takes a hit,
mm-hmm.
it is far more detrimental.
It's a thin line.
You don't have the guy and you can't just say, all right, if we have a bunch of number twos, but we don't have a number one, and one of our twos goes down, look, the guy who's behind him isn't very good.
No.
And that drop-off is substantial. And so when you have that number one, and you can lean on him and you can rely on him, those are the type of games that you need that number one receiver.
Well, now, if only there were a number one wide receiver out on the market somewhere.
Davante Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I would not be shocked one bit after a game like that, that Buffalo goes, all right, let's try to make a move. Let's see if we can make it happen.
Look, and if the Bills are willing to give up a second and a third, which has been the little thing pitched on ESPN, and me as Raiders fan, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair value.
Yep.
Dude, get that done.
Go ahead and do it. But Josh Allen was not great.
No.
But he was not helped out either.
He had some drops, but he had some throws where you just went, it looked like rookie Josh Allen. Like, and you, mm-hmm. again, you have to give the Texans credit and what we talk about, how disruptive they are. And I want to give credit where I can. They're one of the NFL analysts out there that's big in analytics has basically couched the Texans' style of defense as not only one of the most aggressive, but one of the riskiest defenses in modern football. They do things that if you find the weakness, if you can spot it pre-snap, you can destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
You can absolutely, but they disguise what they're doing better than anyone else. And they're bringing wide side blitzes, deep blitzes on when their scouting has basically led them believe this is when they're going to take a deep shot. This is when we can bring this and actually bring pressure and not get killed by a quick slant or a hot route. But they disguise it so well that even if they don't get home, they're incredibly disruptive to longer developing, deep developing routes where teams are trying to push the ball down the field.
I think with all of that being said, they had a chance to win that game.
They did.
I mean, the game was tied late.
And they're
Josh Allen played his worst game
mm-hmm.
in years.
Yes.
You didn't have your receiver room at full strength. Your leading receiver, yardage-wise, had one catch
yeah.
in Keon Coleman, right? He was a 49-yarder. They had to do it by committee. James Cook ran the ball.
Effectively.
Very effectively. But when you have a running back who's averaging 4.1 yards per carry, you are pinned inside your own 3-yard line mm-hmm. because give the Texans a lot of credit. They made football game winning plays. Mm-hmm. They had game winning plays. When they needed them the most, their punter comes through, he flips the field. Your defense was solid all the way through. Your offense at the end of the game doesn't have a lot of time to operate, and they march right down the field, get you a game-winning field goal. But when your quarterback is completing 33% of his passes, and you get the ball with 32 seconds left in a tie game,
backed up in your own end zone,
why in the world are you dropping back three times? And Sean McDermott had to face that question in the postgame.
Tough game. I thought our guys did a great job coming back. Coaches made good adjustments. You know, just not enough in the end. And you know, that's on me. The end of game situation on offense. We're in a tough situation. Three timeouts. They're holding three timeouts. I got a good field goal kicker. We needed to run the clock and move the chains. And that's on me. We didn't do that there, and that's my fault.
Yikes!
And this has been the criticism of Sean McDermott in these situations. You know, first it was, you know, when Daboll leaves, you know, kind of how does the play calling shake out? And I think we've learned perhaps that as good as ineffective as Daboll was, that maybe Diggs and his stuff was a bit more problematic than maybe we were willing to give it you know, credence for.
I think Joe Brady's doing a really good job with that offense. McDermott is in a tough spot because, look, you have a quarterback that is playing at an MVP level.
Yes.
You're backed up on the three. They're going to pin their ears back. They're going to try to stop the run. And when you have a quarterback that is as good as Josh Allen, in his mind, he's going, no, we are attack mode. We're not safety mode. We are going to play attack mode.
And regardless of how bad he's been, when you've got Patrick Mahomes, when you've got Joe Burrow, when you've got Josh Allen, hell, if you've got Lamar Jackson, those four quarterbacks. If you have one of those four quarterbacks, regardless of what has happened the rest of the game, you are paying them and trusting them in that moment to make a play.
Mm-hmm.
So I get at least the mindset, but you're looking at that Texans team that has three timeouts. And what was it, 1:05 left?
No. When they got the ball, there's 32 seconds left.
I think it was 1:05 when they went to punt. I think that's what it ended up being after when they let it run down. But they've got three timeouts. Make them burn through something. Make them possibly make a mistake.
Yep.
They
didn't allow. If you run the ball twice and then throw the ball, you at least
soften it up.
Are in a position where your running back's averaging 4 yards a carry. You're in third and manageable at that point.
And maybe you keep them guessing because maybe they think, hey, you know, maybe they are going to run it here because they might want to try to just burn our last time out.
And at least what you ended up doing is incompletion, punt the ball away, and a kicker that is automatic from 50, which all kickers are now these days. That is an impossible situation to be in, and that sucks. It's really hard if you are Sean McDermott in that situation because of the fact that you always want to be in attack mode. You're not going to say we're playing not to lose this game. You want to be aggressive, but everything about that game told you run the ball, make them use their timeouts, and then find yourself in a position where you give your defense a better chance because it opened up the middle of the field when they had more than one timeout remaining in the waning seconds of that game. They could throw the ball across the middle, get tackled, call a timeout, run two more plays, which is exactly what they did. Tough. That's
the
a tough way to lose, but they were in it still.
Them's the breaks in the old NFL.
That's right.
All right, let's put a nice little bow on today's show, maybe wrap up today's show with a fun little bit of audio here in Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. Well, we found a way to get through most of the NFL stuff, and we still didn't get a chance to hit maybe one of the biggest news notes of the day in the professionalization of college football coming our way.
Yeah, Ross Dellinger dropped a little nugget on us today that we are inching closer and closer to a college football super league.
Private equity.
70 teams playing, which is your power four, Notre Dame included.
I keep saying 80, but 70 is good.
70 teams where you'd have three tiers of distribution. What they're saying is that in the first 4 years of a super league, you'd have $130 million per year going to each school in tier one. Tier 2 would get $60 million. Tier 3 would get $30 million, just right off the top of the Super League. By year 12 of this, Tier 1 would be up to $250 million, Tier 2, $110, Tier 3, $60. That right there is a lot of money going to a lot of schools, and it would be based on promotion and relegation into each tier of college football. They say off the bat, it would infuse $9 billion of private equity.
I'm sorry, how much?
$9
billion. Oh, okay.
You would be getting about $15 billion in this thing.
That's NBA TV money.
Legitimately,
that's what that is.
This is
insane.
Going to be, and what it would be is all four of the power leagues that would have to come together and say, this is what we're doing. We are going to run with this, and this is how it would be. You would no longer play group of five schools. You would no longer play FCS schools. Every team in that Super League would just play against other Super League teams.
And promotion relegation.
Within the tiers, not out of the Super League.
This is why I need 80 teams. I need promotion relegation. I need 10 teams cycling through.
But we don't know about Oregon State and Washington State in this and how they would fit in.
I feel like they would.
I mean, 70 would tell you no right now.
I mean, but they said in like the 40s or 50s based on like every measurement.
Here's the big one, though. Would the Big Ten and SEC want to do this? Because then that gives away
their leverage.
Their leverage of we're bigger, better, and badder than everybody else here.
Man, $9 billion is a lot of money.
But all right, for the tier three teams, mm-hmm. a lot of the bottoms of your conference are going to be in that third tier, and you would be going from $100 million a year mm-hmm. down to $30 to $60 million. That's a big change, man. That's a big
spot.
Change, and I don't know if they would want to be down for that, but. It's something to keep an eye on as we move forward. All right, that does it for us today. Up next, you got 4 hours of power. From their mouths to your ears is Primetime with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you Wednesday from noon to 3 right here on The Fan.
Bye.
That was a thick pick.
It's expansive. It's big. It's large.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.